the implication when I say we're going to look at the word sleep, meaning that what does the word sleep mean in Scripture? And if you remember way back, I think back in the 40s, someone wrote a scathing article about the companion Bible. They reviewed it, and their scathing comments had to do with the fact that it was not a good investment. It had a lot of great information, but it was not a good investment because Dr. Bollinger was believed in soul sleep, which he did not, and he said he didn't even know what the word meant, because, and he meant that literally, because the two words don't go together. But anyway, that certainly has always been a term that's associated with those who seek to search the Scriptures and have a knowledge of the great mystery and the mystery and the fullness of the Lord Christ Jesus. So anyway, there are several words in the Greek that that are interpreted sleep. We're only interested in two of them tonight, and one in particular. And those two words are, I'll just pronounce them, koi ma'o and ka yuto. And one of them, the koi ma'o, is used 18 times. I believe it's found 18 times in the New Testament. And the other word is found like 23 times in the New Testament. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a couple of examples from these two verses, or from these two words, and that will be the springboard as to what we will look into tonight. I'm going to begin with Matthew 27:52, and this is the word koi ma'o. And it is, and let me get the context here before you, if anybody's going to post the verse, let me get the context of what we're reading here. Actually, in this particular case, we will just read the one verse, I believe. Thank you, Tony. As usual, faithful Tony and his posting, or those others who post, we thank you. 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And here we have the word slept, and it is the word koi ma'o. And I think if you look at that verse, first of all, it's hard to understand. The graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. It doesn't tell us that they said anything, did anything other than appeared, but he's referring to the bodies here. And so for whatever that you might think that to mean, he does mention that they had been asleep. And he certainly was not speaking of they had just these were a bunch of saints who lived in that area, and they woke up and appeared to others. But you know, when you look at this verse, you have to understand that he's speaking about those some who are dead. And I think the great controversy of the word sleep amongst what we would call Orthodox Christianity, or whatever we might call it, is going to be that it's generally accepted that that term means, sleep means those are people who have died but have gone to be with the Lord. And in some cases, some will say that those who have died, or those who died prior to the Lord's resurrection, they slept, and then after the Lord was resurrected, after that time, anybody who died would go to heaven immediately when they died. So that's generally what we're up against when we look at these words. So this one, I believe, from our standpoint, we're not going to look at every single occurrence, but we will look at several of them tonight. But I think this group would certainly agree that, or most of this group would certainly agree that this speaks of sleep here, speaks of those who are dead. And we will see that it's not necessarily... it can also mean those who are asleep, as we think of sleep. If we go to 28, verse 13, and let me back up a little bit here. Verse I'm going to start back in verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. So these were this is after the Lord's resurrection, and the stone had been rolled away, and the grave was empty, and there was a guard on them, and the Jews who had put that guard on them were concerned about it, and they didn't want anybody to know the truth, so they said, just say that, we'll pay you for this, but just say that you fell asleep, and someone came and stole him away. And so in this case, it's pretty obvious that sleep means falling asleep in the sense that we think of falling asleep. And Luke 22:45. Another passage. I think normally when we hear something that we agree with, we hear somebody say it many times, and I'm guilty of this. Many times it sounds very reasonable, and then we accept that as a fact. And we know we can't expect other people to be good Bereans if we ourselves are not good Bereans. So surely you've heard on occasion that the word sleep means what we normally think of it as those who are dead. And we want to make sure we're good Bereans, and we're going to look at, not tonight, we will not look at all the occurrences, but we will look at many, so that hopefully people will at least take note of these verses for their own selves, and to weigh these out, and to look at all the occurrences. So in 22, verse 45, we read, let me back up here. I'm sorry. I'm going to back up. He had gone out with his disciples. This is on just shortly before his death, the night before his death. And he went out and he asked them to go out and pray with him. And I think they fell asleep. And so verse 41, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. So here it's obvious that they had fallen asleep. So we can see that this word can speak of either the dead, or it can speak of people who just fall asleep normally. And so I'm going to stop there and look at a few other passages here before we really get into this subject. And what we will see is that the context itself will tell us, or should tell us, whether it's speaking of those who are dead or those who are falling asleep. And I'm going to switch over and just read a couple of verses in this other word that we have, ka-yudo. And this one's pretty obvious. It's always speaking about one who has fallen asleep, just naturally. And it's a different word. And I call that to your attention because it's important, because we're going to look at an example of one who... We're going to look at two examples. One, we're going to look at Lazarus, whom was dead, and the Lord said that he slept. And then we're going to look at one who was not dead, that the people said she was. And the Lord uses this other word. And he says, no, emphatically, she is not dead. And they laughed at him. And so we're going to look at those two and compare them. So it's important that we compare Scripture with Scripture, and we compare different words and make sure that we don't confuse the two, because orthodoxy will come up with an answer for this, and I think we want to be very honest in our approach to these scriptures. Let's look at a couple of verses here real quick. This is the other word, ka-yudo,
And let's look at 8:24. And bear with me with my slow fingers tonight. Matthew 8:24. I have a monitor that keeps going to sleep on me here, so if I lose you, somebody yell at me or something. 8:24. This is when the Lord had, they had entered in his ship, in verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. So this is obvious that he's not speaking about sleep and death. So I think if we look at all the occurrences of this word, you'll see that, and there may be one case where you might want to argue that, but the scriptures are going to bear out the truth of that issue. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 11, and I believe if you followed Ronnie in his series on John, he covered these verses dramatically. He made it clear what the Lord was speaking about here, so I won't spend a lot of time on this passage, except for the fact that I think it is important that we understand these. Beginning in verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters went unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now, we're going to read in a minute that he says he's plainly he's dead, and very emphatically he's dead. So let's not be confused by what he says here. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's not for the cause of death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So he's pointing out that the purpose of this is to glorify God. And it was necessary for these people to see this. This was just part of one of the signs that help us to understand that he truly was the Son of God and he was the Messiah. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, and this is our word, koimao, and we're going to see three words used here for the word sleep. So we need to pay attention when we look and consider these kind of things. So he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And this is another word in the Greek here. I believe it's the word that has to do with hypnosis. Where we get our word hypnotize or hypnosis. And he says, I will awake him out of sleep. And it's only used one time in the entire scripture. So this one we don't have a lot to compare with. But he first says that Lazarus sleepeth. So the word that he uses, they are well aware of. And by the way, what language did the Lord speak in when he was here on earth? He spoke in Aramaic, which was a version of Hebrew. Now, we have this recorded in Greek. And so we're looking at Greek words, but and we're going to see in a moment in another case how important it was to understand that the Lord spoke in Aramaic. Because when he was speaking in Aramaic, or should we say that present version of Hebrew, there were Hebrew idioms that they would understand. And so let's just keep that in mind when we look at some other passages here.
Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. So you can see right away, when they heard him use the word, whatever word he used in the Aramaic, and it's recorded here in John in the Greek, they thought, I mean, they heard a word that was, that could have been either way, just like we read in the Greek. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. So now John is going to tell us clearly what the word sleep means in this context. Koi ma'o. He says, howbeit he spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. So John tells us that the word that's used here goes both ways, and they just misinterpreted it. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And not only is he dead, but the word that the Lord uses here in the Greek has the prefix apo, and it intensifies the meaning of dead. So he makes it very clear that this man is dead to the disciples. And so we might just look at, well, it would behoove us to take a look at the fact that he uses the word plainly several times. He uses it four times in the book of John, but it's pretty emphatic when he uses that word of how important it is. I might just read a couple just for the sake because I think there's something that we can glean from this in our own letters that are written to us. If we turn back to John chapter 10 and verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So he did not back it up with just words. He backed it up with actions. And the fact that the many miracles and signs and wonders that he did certainly spoke for him. And it was very plain. Now this same word is used in Ephesians chapter 3. If I wrote it down here. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's read a couple of verses here. In Ephesians 3, this is to the church, which is his body, of course. And here's what we are told when he speaks of what Paul, that Paul was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God in verse 7, unto me by the effectual working of his power. And he speaks about what was given him. It is grace that was given him to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then we get down to verse 10, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now here's something that would be unheard of had you lived at the time of John and you stood there with those Jews. In whom we have boldness. This is the same word that we read there. He spoke plainly. We are allowed to speak plainly and have access with confidence by the faith of him. So, here's a word that is used for us, or used by us, and shows us the difference as to what John was up against when he lived and wrote that gospel, particularly at the time when he lived with the Lord. Also, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Let's note the word is used here. Let no man beguile you of your ward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. I believe I wrote down the wrong verse. Okay, I have to apologize. I put down the wrong verse here. But he uses that same word plainly. I believe it's also the word boldly here somewhere in this passage. And I wrote it down wrong. Let's see. Anyway, I'm sorry about that, but we will we'll continue here. So, but anyway, we have the ability to speak freely to the Lord.
And that would be unheard of by Gentiles, obviously, during the time that John wrote this passage of Scripture. So we see that in this case, in John 11, and you judge for yourself what he meant. Did he mean that Lazarus was really just asleep? I mean, he had been dead 3 days, or this was the fourth day. It was clear that he was dead. And this was the word that he used. Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and starting in verse 49. And here we're going to have the other word used. And this, however, has been argued that to support belief that Lazarus really was not dead. And yet, we need to understand that this is a totally different Greek word. So it's important that we compare things, compare Scripture with Scripture, and compare words. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 49, we read this. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. So this was one of the rulers of the synagogue's house had sent someone here. He says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead. Now the word dead here is the same word we saw over there in John chapter 11 that was emphatic. It had the prefix apo on it. And now he uses the negative of it. She is not emphatically dead, but sleepeth. And here he uses the word kayudo. So now he's speaking, she's apparently in a coma, shall we say. But she was not physically dead, as we would know death. And so, verse 53, what do we read? And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was emphatically dead. In their mind, they thought she was dead. So the Lord says, no, she's not. So who are you going to believe here? And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So here it says, her spirit came again. Well, usually we think of spirit as breath, and her breath came again. And that sounds like she was dead. But let's go back and look at Mark's account. And that would be in Mark chapter 5. And there's a key to this. This is why it's important to compare Scripture with Scripture. And it's important to look at all aspects of any subject. And we as Bereans, that's what we should do. And we should not just believe every word we hear, even amongst those we have the most highest respect for. And I think those who that we do have the highest respect for would agree also not to take their word for something, but to look at it. So over in Mark chapter 5, verse 35, we have the same account that we just read in Luke. While he yet spake, there came to the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. So we get a little bit more detail in Mark's account. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. So he uses the same word, kayudo, and kayudo, sorry. And so he says, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him,
and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. So here Mark does something that John doesn't do, and he gives us the Aramaic, the actual words that the Lord spoke. Now, that's just as a side note here. We normally think of John as one who wrote to the world. His letter is to the, his gospel is to the world. And that he had, in several places, he had to make clear Jewish terms for those, for Gentiles who would read this book. Well, let me bring to your attention, too, that Mark also wrote to the world. That is to say, he wrote to Romans during the Acts period. And he gave the Romans, those Romans who would hear this, Gentiles as well. And let me mention that Luke also wrote to Gentiles, and he wrote specifically, more specifically, to Greeks. But we see here in Mark's account, he quotes, he uses the Aramaic, and he translates it. So like John does when he makes it clear what a word mean or a word means or a Jewish custom means, Mark does the same thing. So we really have three Gospels that are written to Gentiles. The difference is that John's Gospel is written to the world without distinction. No difference between the Jew and the Greek. And yet Luke and Mark both wrote during what appears to be during the Acts period, and they wrote to those. Remember, Mark and Luke both traveled with Paul, and they did get a taste of the world, of the Greek world and the Roman world. And so we see that difference in his gospel. So let's get back to verse 41. I'll read it again. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. So what's important about that? Well, back in Luke, remember what it said, that her spirit came again and she rose straightway. And that is a Hebrew idiom that we need to understand. That's one thing that we aren't fortunate enough to have a mind of. If we understood Hebrew idioms, a lot of things would be more clear to us. And to give you an example, I'm going to turn back to 1 Samuel 30, verses 11 and 12. Now, I didn't figure this stuff out by myself. I had help from reading some different articles and whatever by Mr. Welch and others. So don't look at me and say, wow, this guy's smart, because I'm not very smart at all. 1 Samuel in chapter 30, I'm not even close, and verses 11 and 12. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. So was this man dead and they brought him back to life? No. But the same phrase is used of him. It says his spirit came again to him. So here we have a Hebrew idiom that is used by in Luke and we see it borne out in Mark, in the sense that the meaning of the word spirit here was that she was in a coma or in whatever means of that sleep was that she was, but she was not dead. And we see the difference between the two. So it's important that we pay attention to the word, the actual Greek word that we read when we look at these occurrences. So having said that, I'm going to go back to now, and we're going to look at some verses that this word is used. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, and we will see this. We're going back to the word koimao again. And this is the word that often is translated, sleep is translated meaning death. So Acts chapter 7, and let's begin in verse, hang on, sorry.
Acts chapter 7, the verse we're looking at is verse 60, but I want to back up a little bit here. Verse 54, and this is Stephen. He gave this long dissertation on the scriptures, and he accused these people of being stiff-necked. In verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, I don't think he was, after he had been brutally stoned there, that he just went to sleep. And here the word obviously means that he died. Let's go to chapter 12, chapter 13. Let me see what I got here. 13 and verse 36. This one's pretty obvious. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, laid unto his fathers, and saw no corruption. Oops, sorry. And saw corruption. So that one's obvious that he fell on sleep, he died. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, and here's the word, and the translators got it right here. If her husband sleeps, she is at liberty, but to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So here we see the translators actually put the word dead in the place of it. Just to save some time here, chapter 15, it's used several times. 15:6, we read Paul going through the list of those who had seen the Lord, the resurrected Lord. He says, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 18. So he says, if Christ be not raised, in verse 17, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So it would be good to take the word perish along with these occurrences, because we're going to see that that the word sleep, and if I believe this statement is correct, I have not checked every single occurrence, but speaking of one who did check a recurrence, it's always used of believers. It's never used of a non-believer. And we have a little bit more to say about that in a few moments. I'll just mention it in verse 20 and 51. It's also used. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's scripture that's well known amongst most Christianity, well thought of amongst Christians. When we talk about the so-called rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, 14, and 15. 13, 14, 15. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I did a funeral once. It was very difficult for me to do. It was someone I was, it was an in-law of mine. And I read from this passage of Scripture. And I did not do any, I tried to avoid saying anything that would be taken doctrinally or whatever. You know, this was a solemn time. It was a funeral that was I had a lot of respect for the family and so forth. And I just read these verses and didn't say much about what the Scripture said. And afterwards, I heard, however, that this man's daughter who had passed away was very angry and told my sister that I don't believe a word of that. And all I did was quote the Scripture. And that's dangerous to say something like that, because if you don't believe what the Scripture says, I mean, without me even saying, interpreting that Scripture, that person saw what the Scripture said and they didn't believe it. So anyway, here, and I think we have many believers, Christians today, who look at this and interpret this to mean that you still go to be with the Lord. And I don't know if I've got it. I don't have it here, but I wanted to read, I believe it was by Moffat, or no, Tyndale. And remember, Tyndale had a lot to do with the Scriptures that we have today. And he lost his life for the Scriptures. But he wrote about this passage of Scripture. And he basically said, after you read this, if you read this passage of Scripture, I'm paraphrasing, then you should be in great joy when someone passes away, if you think that if they go to be with the Lord. He says, but if not, he says, I see absolutely no reason for resurrection. So here was somebody who recognized the meaning of what these Scriptures really taught. Now, if you go across the page to 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 10, here is the other word that we looked at, ta-yudo. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the light, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. So, those first few verses there speak of that word, the other word. We can see that it has to do with watching and not falling asleep. So we can see the usage of those two words. Well, real quickly, let's look at a few occurrences in the Old Testament Scripture. And by the way, do you know where the word cemetery comes from? It comes from this very word that we're looking at, koimaterion, cemetery. And in the early days, the Christians, that's where the word came from, the word cemetery. It meant sleeping places. So there was a time when there were the early Christians who believed that very same thing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14 through 16. I'm just going to read a few verses here and we'll close. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is, you know, the pages are usually stuck together where you don't read very often. So bear with me here. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and beginning in verse 14. If I wrote this down. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. And this people will rise up. And he goes on and talks about what's going to happen with those people. So it makes it clear from the very beginning of the one who wrote those first five books that he was going to sleep with his fathers. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I know I'm not telling you guys anything new, but I think it is important that we do not just hear something and believe it, but that we look at, and we really should look at every single occurrence, which we're not doing this time, but I'm going to, oops, I'm sorry. Okay, Second Timothy chapter 7 and verses, in particular, verse 12. And we'll look at perhaps a little bit of context here. We'll back up a little bit. Let's back up. Just read the first. No, not the first verse. So I'm in chapter 6. Okay. Anyway, the Lord goes back and kind of rehearses of David's life. And let's see. Verse 5. No. Well, I'm missing it here. I'm sorry. I apologize. But he tells David his time is short. But he goes back and rehearses what he had accomplished. And then we get down to verse 12, and he says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up a seed after thee, which shall proceed out of the bowels, out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." And it's also found in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 10, the same thing concerning David. But I'm going to close in the book of Job. So if you go through the occurrences of sleep in the Old Testament, you will find that some evil and wicked people slept. But you also need to look closely. The word we just looked at is shahab in the Hebrew. And the word, there is another word that's used of the others, which is shekha. It's a different word. So we, once again, you need to pay attention to which words are used. But I'm going to close with Job chapter 14. And a passage that kind of separates the two between the believer and the non-believer. Job chapter 14, 12 through 15. "So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep." So this is the second word there, shekha. Verse 13, "Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." So here are the words of Job, long before Moses wrote the things that he wrote. And he spoke of man. He spoke of men that would not rise out of their sleep, meaning death. But then he goes on and he speaks about his hope. "Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, and thou wouldst keep me secret." Nothing here about going to be with the Lord. "Until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? The days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." So, anyway, I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and we will I'll open up the microphone. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for your word and for your truth. We ask that you that we have the hearts that you will make things plain to us. And we thank you for the things that we have learned from you and that you have made clear to us. And we thank you for your word, and we ask that you continually remind us of how important it is to stand for truth and for truth rightly divided, that we might be approved workmen. We thank you for each one here this evening and for the love of our Lord Christ Jesus. And these things we thank you in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.